Welcome to episode 45 of High School Counseling Conversations. Wouldn't it be nice if someone just told you the best way to divide up your caseload and your students? I remember going to an Ask a presentation one year at an in-person conference thinking, yes, this presentation is going to tell me everything I need to know and everything I need to do to come back home and revamp how we do everything. I'm ready to change what we do and how we do it. They were pretty straightforward when they got started, saying that there was going to be a different solution for anyone and everyone who was there. Now, I did not get up and walk out. I was actually very intrigued. I knew that this sort of problem solving was like everything else I had run into as a school counselor. It required creativity, it required a bit of research and deep thought and brainstorming, and then it required trial and error. This one felt scary, though, because I had to rope a lot of people in whichever way I decided that I wanted to go. It would involve a handful of different stakeholders who I'd have to get on board with something new. Yikes! Change is always scary, not just for teachers or admin, even for the people who you work directly alongside of, even for you. And I was thinking about this because I was the only person from my team at this presentation. It's not like I had the whole team sitting listening to the benefits or like the pros and cons of this presentation when we were talking about caseloads. I also want to acknowledge before we get into this that you may not have the freedom or the luxury to have your voice heard in these kinds of decisions. I get that. Or maybe you're the only counselor for a huge caseload at your school and just having the option to break it down in different ways is not possible. But maybe this conversation will empower you to advocate for another counselor position at your school. Or perhaps it'll give you some ideas to think about if you were ever in a different school setting than the one that you're in now. There are so many things to consider when laying out different caseload models on the table. The questions range from which is the best way to do caseloads overall to which is the best caseload model for our school. I really haven't been able to find a ton of research on this topic, so I do think at least the best thing to do right now is to ask some critical questions about the way that your program handles this and the way that your school handles this. I also realize that this may seem like a random time of year to talk about changing how your caseloads are modeled, but I wanted to give you plenty of time to think about it or consider how you might want to change your caseload model in the future. I also feel like this is a hot topic, and sometimes people want to die on the hill that they believe is absolutely correct. So here we are. I want to talk about a couple different caseload models to consider and the pros and cons of them. High School Counseling Conversations is a podcast where we talk about exactly that, a casual potpourri of school counseling topics intended to grow us as school counselors, but also give us space to enjoy each other's company. I'm Lauren from Counselor Click, and I'm sharing my experiences and perspectives as a high school counselor. No topic is off limits, and I'm certain we'll cover it all. I'm your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Whether you're just getting your feet wet as an intern or you're nearing retirement, you'll feel like you're just popping in to catch up with your school counseling bestie. Let's go. If you're not happy with the way that your caseload is divided right now, or you see yourself headed towards burnout if something doesn't change, it's time to say something. I hope this podcast episode is the beginning of some brainstorming for you. Here is your first self-reflection assignment. What types of caseload models have you been a part of? Which did you like best and why? Even throw in, consider your practicum and your internship experiences in there. I know that those were short-lived and maybe a long time ago, but they're worth considering because those were also a valuable experience for you, I'm sure. Maybe you didn't even notice how the caseload breakdowns were at that moment that you were in it, but it's time to dig that memory out of the vault. Let's talk a few different ideas for caseload models. Again, I haven't seen much research that demonstrates an overwhelming push in one direction or another. I'm going to share my least favorite to favorite caseload model breakdowns with some reasons why. I'll share my experiences with these too, but I would love to hear from you after you listen to this. Let's dive in. Everyone is assigned a grade level and always works with this grade level. Now, I said I was going to go from least favorite to most favorite, and you'll notice I have less pros than cons here. So I'll start with my one pro. You get really good at your one thing. You know what to expect at different times of year. You have a calendar. It's set. There's just not that much surprise. You get really good at working with this group of students. You know what social emotional challenges they're going to have. You know what times of year are busier than others. you get really good at it. And that's, there's no denying that. Here's the con. You're potentially working and living in a silo. I've seen it before where there may be two counselors splitting a grade even, but they're always staying here with this grade. I guess that would lessen the work if you have two people, but you're both still siloed in that grade level. Something I personally didn't like about this one was learning all of the student names and then sending them off at the end of the year. It felt so defeating. I have a blog post about tips for remembering student names, and I think I wrote it based off of this experience. I would work so hard to learn 400 plus student names, and then I would get like all sad, like an Eeyore at the end of the year when I had to say goodbye to them and say, see you later, like send you on to the next grade level. With a huge caseload, you work so hard to establish these relationships, only to have them ripped from your cold, tired hands at the end of the year. Then this may be an obvious con, and it may be something totally out of your control, but this caseload model feels like you're always going to have large caseloads. Hear me out. Large caseloads maybe, probably are inevitable. You don't have enough counselor power to divide into smaller caseloads, but if you're, quote, doing things how they've always been done, and you've added a few more counselors, maybe you're missing an opportunity to shake up caseloads for smaller groups. And what do I mean by that? Say you have four counselors, each one has a grade level. You always stay with 10th grade, for example. Then you get another counselor position allocated to your team. Everyone's comfortable where they are. Like, I've been the 10th grade counselor for 13 years. I wouldn't know how to do anything else. There would be so much stuff to learn if we change things. If and when you get another position added to your team, you have to shake up how caseloads are done so that you get the most out of this position. I've seen people put their guards up about this, but then things change when they think about how to best utilize a new position. So let's call this different caseload model number two. You have enough counselors for each grade level, but then you get an extra counselor or an extra 1.5 counselor positions. So you have to get creative as is without changing the entire caseload model. This is kind of what I was saying from the first example. So here's an example. You may use this new person, this new position, as a college and career counselor or a graduation coach or a second 9th grade counselor if that's your largest caseload. You may use them for off-grade level students. All of these are valuable and creative places to use your extra counselor, but maybe there could be a better long-term option. I've seen a college and career counselor be a huge help for the senior counselor. If these two people work well together, they can split a lot of the senior responsibilities like Common App or scholarship help. This person can also be a second touch point for those students who need more one-on-one help after their senior meetings. I'm going to go ahead and put a plug in here to go back and listen to episode 39, Running Senior Meetings Like a Boss, if you're trying to get a rhythm or a system in place for your senior meetings. I see a lot of value in using a counselor for this position if you have an extra counselor floating around. Remember, this person doesn't necessarily lessen anyone's caseload sizes, but they can take a huge weight off of another counselor like the senior counselor, which I believe is important for long-term success of that senior counselor, especially if you have the same person in this role year after year. I've seen a ton of burnout with senior counselors over the years. Don't get me wrong, working with seniors is my absolute favorite, but there is so much stress and pressure with this group that years on years on years of it is a recipe for burnout. Using an extra position to work with off-grade level students is a great idea too, depending on your school's needs. I've done this myself before, and I've been a part of a team where somebody else did this. I think working with these students can be equally rewarding and frustrating. You know that if you don't have an extra person working with these students, that they can take up a lot of your time. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, just a realistic way. A counselor who's keeping up with these students has to work well with all of the counselors on the team because you're essentially sharing or tag teaming to help these students find success. You also have to have clear communication about who is doing what and who needs to follow through with what, and then also who needs help with what. I don't know if that was like the most grammatically correct sentence, but you know what I mean. Okay, let's move on to caseload model number three. Stay with a class and roll with them all the way through graduation. Now, this can have an A version and a B version, like subpoints under this bullet point. So stay with me here. I've done this model both of these ways. A, the 9th grade counselor always stays the 9th grade counselor and everybody rolls with their students. And then B, everybody rolls all the way through. Like no one is staying with 9th grade. You're with their people all 4 years. So the most obvious benefit of rolling through with a class is the relationships. I love getting to know students for 3 or 4 years, depending on which of those A or B scenarios you are. You get to know the students, the family, the siblings. I find that less things slip through the cracks from year to year with this model. For example, if I signed a student up for credit recovery at the beginning of the summer and they came back to school in August and hadn't completed it, they couldn't blame a previous counselor for not explaining it to them or not signing them up. You know, I trusted the people that I worked with, but sometimes the stories don't all line up, but there is no way to blame those people anymore. I had notes and a memory that served me that said, nope, we did this together and you just didn't follow through. So here's what we do next. It's really just more accountability for both parties overall. In this model, I also felt like I could better advocate for students because I just knew them better. If there was a discipline issue going on where I felt like an administrator needed to know more of the bigger picture, I was able to more readily intervene on behalf of the student, which I really appreciated and I really liked. I felt like that was a big benefit to students. A con would be a parent or student doesn't like working with you or you don't like working with them. This is a very realistic problem to consider. When I worked in this model, I think all of the counselors on my team had people who requested a different counselor at some point. Now, and this can really hurt your feelings if you're not ready for it, or the first time that it happens, it can feel very offensive. It makes me laugh looking back because I'm pretty sure even though I'm an outspoken person as a parent, I would always try and work things out with someone. But no, there are parents who just demand and want someone different. And you could take this on a case-by-case basis. I also don't want to work with someone who hates me and doesn't want to work with me. But again, I see value in problem-solving and honest communication and teaching that to my student or my child. With this situation, I rarely saw a request for the change of counselor to be student-driven. It was usually the parents demanding. So I don't know. That's a bold request for a change, but you take it on a case-by-case basis and see what happens. I think the biggest negative of this model is still the large caseload size. We were doing this model when we were getting more counselor positions allocated to us. And the reasons we were getting more counselors added was to lower the caseloads. But this model wasn't sustainable for counselor growth. There wasn't a smooth way to incorporate new counselors into this model while lowering our numbers, which again was the point of adding new counselors. We started thinking longer term. What's a better way to model caseload so that when a new counselor was added, we could use the counselor for the reason they were given to us, smaller caseloads. I'm taking a break from this episode to share a resource that's going to win you back your time. And that's what all high school counselors need, right? I want you to go to counselorclick.com/megaplanning to check out the High School Counseling Mega Planning Bundle. Inside, you'll find a presentation and what I like to call a planning guide for each of your high school grade levels. What do I mean by that? You get a done-for-you, grade-level-appropriate presentation for 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades, and a reflective packet for each of those grade levels, too, where students can reflect, process, and take notes. That planning guide comes in a printable PDF format, which is great for doodling and coloring, or a digital Google Slides version if you want to share it out to your whole caseload or whole class via Google Classroom. Don't worry, I include instructions for how to do that, so it's safe even if the tech stuff intimidates you. So what are you waiting for? Don't reinvent the wheel with those presentations and resources that you'll use over and over again. Go to counselorclick.com/megaplanning to check out this discounted bundle of valuable high school counseling resources. Now, back to the show. Now, we've made it to the grand finale, my favorite caseload model of all. Do you know what it is? Alphabet. I love an alphabet breakdown, and here's why. It combines the best of all worlds in my book. You get the benefits of relationships with students and families. Plus, if you have more than four counselors, this is the best way to lower your caseloads. When you run your caseload model decisions through the lens of what is best for students and families and not what is best for administrators and teachers and office staff, I think you'll end up here. The biggest pushback I got for this model is that other people in the school thought it was too complicated to not know off the top of their head which counselor went with which student. And that's why I'd also print off a little flyer to hang in a classroom or cheat sheet to put by people's phones with the contact info for each counselor and who that counselor's caseload was. I'll be honest, it felt hard to go up against administrators who were grade level and not be the same as them with that grade level. The administrators who I worked with, though I absolutely love them, were very resistant to this change. They hated not knowing who to go to in a moment's notice, but this just took a mindset shift to have them come around. They also didn't like not having their person to always work with. but I like that I got to work with all the administrators. It really didn't seem fair to either of us, admin or counselor, to be assigned to work with just one person if there'd be someone else that you'd make a better dynamic duo with. This way, we all got to work together with each other. I was super thankful to have a supportive principal that year that made this decision. He heard us out and was willing to take a risk. He definitely heard the administrator's qualms, but ultimately he said what is best for students and families, even if that means change or growing pains for us. And we came to the conclusion that that was relationships and smaller caseloads for counselors in order to better serve students. I was so thankful for this leap of faith that he took in listening to us and supporting us. Because it's not all rainbows and butterflies, nothing ever is, let me tell you about some of the things that were hard in making this shift, even for counselors. I do think, though, that even the things that presented challenges at some times grew us as school counselors and grew us as a team. Not everyone on the team had worked with students at every grade level. So this was very intimidating to counselors who had never worked with seniors, especially. They were finally feeling the high-stakes pressure that comes with graduation requirements, state scholarships, and passing grades. It's not for the faint of heart. But this also made us feel more united, like we're in this together, we're all sharing this stress, mind you, with smaller groups of seniors to manage. We also had to get better at communicating. At the beginning of the year, we had to sit down and divvy up responsibilities. This gave us a launch point each year to trade things that we didn't like anymore or give something new a try and have a new experience. It helped everyone feel like their skills and interests were valued in this role as a high school counselor. Some may have considered it challenging to do classroom lessons when the caseloads were alpha. I was used to knowing everyone's names in the whole class when I went in to do a classroom lesson. Now, that relational credibility wasn't as strong when I went in. I only knew the students who were my section of the alphabet. I would always check the roster before I went in to make sure I knew who was going to be in there and to know which relationships I could lean on once I got in there. Different counselors on our team would be the point person for scheduling classroom lessons and then deciding what we'd be doing in those classroom lessons. The number of students on each counselor's caseload will fluctuate each year with alpha, so you can't complain about how many students everyone has based on the alphabet each year, and you can't change it each year either. For example, one year I had 72 seniors, and then the next year I had 49 seniors. That's a huge difference when it comes to seniors. You know this if you've worked with them before. You can't keep changing the alphabet breakdown to make it even. You just have to know that some years you'll have more students or more seniors, and some years you'll have less. It'll all come out in the wash. Alpha takes more communication and probably some more growing pains, but I do feel like it's the most valuable for the benefits that pay out in the long term for relationships, for burnout rate, and for playing to counselors' strengths. I'd love to hear your thoughts on caseload model management. Which of these camps can you get behind? Which ones have worked well for you and your personality or your team style? Send me a DM this week on Instagram and let me know. I expect this episode to be a great conversation starter among counselors and teams. Share this episode with your department head or someone on your school counseling team as you evaluate how your caseload model is going right now. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All of the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Send me a DM at counselorclick. That's CLIQUE. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I'll see you next time.